6 p.m. AEST. See you then.
Hello, hello, welcome, welcome, one and all. It is July the 24th, 2023, on a beautiful day here in Austin, Texas. Partly cloudy, just a few clouds along the edges of the sky. It is 37 degrees right now, high of 38, so it's warm. It's a little bit warm outside. That was DJ Sammy and Yanu featuring Doe. They're due. That was Heaven, a classic. Shout out to Calm. Howdy to Tobe and UserFXNet, Next1, Ratsu, Lockdown, Asani, and Oak3, and everyone else hanging out in Calm. yeah, we just have a few clouds, not enough. Also, I want to mention, shout out to Jay LaMoth and all the XMPP crew. XMPP is available and is a service of Anon Radio, just like IRC. There's an IRC room. I haven't been in there in years, but IRC is there. Anon Radio is anonradio at conference.jabber.sdf.org. So there's a whole world of people out there. Tobe, okay, thank you. Oh, hello, hello. So actually I wanted to mention, I think my very first show was July 22nd, 2021, or 2020. I don't remember. It was July 22nd. So anyway, anniversary time, we're doing a high number show. So I'm just excited that you're here. And thanks for being here. I'm sorry we don't have sound effects. Worked so hard to get those sound effects. But we're doing the show on the roof these days. So sound effects, they're backseat. All right. So, let's get going. There's a lot of news, a lot of death and destruction to talk about. Not a ton. Usually Mondays are full of death and destruction. But we've been kind of lucky. Not as much as usual. We start in Senegal. At least 17 people are dead. How you might say, Well, the way we see people dying at this time of year. At least 17 people were found dead after a boat capsized in Senegal's capital of Dakar, according to local officials on Monday. The number of people in the pirogue, it's P-I-R-O-G-U-E. I would say pierogi, but I'm sure that's not right. P-I-R-O-G-U-E. Papa, India, Romeo, Oscar, Golf, Uncle, Echo. Is not yet known, but two people were rescued alive. The bodies were discovered by the Navy early in the morning and are believed to be migrants because of the type of boat they were in, according to Oakham neighborhood mayor Ndeye Top Guy. While this is the first time bodies have washed up in the neighborhood, migrant deaths at sea are becoming more common in Senegal. It was unclear where the people were coming from, what nationalities they were, or even where they were going. But the Atlantic migration route is one of the deadliest in the world, with nearly 800 people dying or going missing in the first half of 2023. So, sad times indeed. Let's see what comms got going on. Into me, lore, straight from the source, user FX. Tobe, not only do I deal in different time zones, but different calendars. Ooh, I would be interested in different calendars. That'd be kind of fun. We blame the Julians. All Julians must pay. And let's see, Handy C's in the house. Here's how I remember which side of the planet is which. Is it sunny outside, or is it dark inside? Is it sunny outside, is it dark inside? Seems like an advanced problem. Of course, if you're too far north or too far south, the sun never goes down or never comes up, and then you're in real trouble. All right, so 17 people dead in Senegal. That's not good. Capsized boat. That always stinks. Or I imagine it stinks, at least for the people recovering the bodies. In Algeria, wildfires have killed at least 15 people. At least 15 people have been killed and thousands evacuated after wildfires broke out across the country, Interior Minister says. Outbreaks of 97 wildfires were recorded across 16 provinces affecting forests, crops, and farmland on Monday. Around 7,500 firefighters and 350 fire trucks were working to bring the blazes under control. 26 people were also injured and 1,500 people were evacuated from their homes in Fanaya, Bahia, Zabarbar, and Boira. 10 soldiers were killed battling the fires in Bahia, the Algerian Defense Ministry said. The most extensive fires in the mountainous Kabylie region to the east of Algiers spread to residential areas in the coastal towns of Bahia and Djeil, fanned by high winds. Northern Algeria has been experiencing a record heat wave in recent days, with temperatures reaching 48 C. Temperatures in several regions in North Africa are up to 7 C higher than normal for this time of year. 7 C is quite a big jump. That's the difference from it's hot to I don't know if I'm going to survive for a lot of people. Algeria's meteorological office has warned that temperatures more than 48 C are likely to continue until the end of the month in the north of the country. On Monday, Algeria's national electricity and gas company, Sonelgaz, said it had recorded a historic peak in electricity consumption. A leading outlet critical of the government, Tout Sur l'Algérie, or TSA, reported earlier this month there had been an unprecedented use of air conditioners, saying current methods of construction were less effective than traditional bricks in keeping homes cool. Not looking so good. Looking pretty hot out there. All right, let's see what we got. Lockdown in Sani says the seasons are becoming. Are because of the tilt of the earth and not because of being a longer distance away from the sun. Okay, let's see what we got here. The sun seems hostile. Here is the idea to combat global warming. Oh, yeah, turn the sun off at night. Good one, Handy C. Let's do that. all right, so people are dying from the heat. People are dying from fires. People are dying from all sorts of stuff, even bears. A woman has been found dead on a trail near Yellowstone National Park after likely coming into contact with a grizzly bear. Tracks from a grizzly were discovered close to the woman's body on Saturday near the town of West Yellowstone in Montana. The woman was found after an apparent bear encounter, they added, though no cause of death has been confirmed. Montana's grizzly populations have risen in recent years, Days before the woman was found on Saturday, Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Department warned visitors and staff of the increased danger from grizzlies and urged campers and hikers to carry bear spray and to secure food and rubbish. Rangers issued an emergency closure of the area when the woman was found, which is popular with hikers. Yellowstone has two main bear species, the grizzly and the black bear. While the latter is much smaller, both species are considered potentially dangerous. So yeah, avoid the bears. Let's see what we got. Please spread the word. Tope has linked to a mastodon. I'm thinking this is an announcement for the upcoming Dubious Goals Committee, the show that airs every goddamn day at 1930 UTC. So that should be there. Stick around for that. That's coming up in 20 minutes or so. All right, so there's death, there's destruction, there's all sorts of stuff. Did you know that sometimes death is just because you didn't pay your light bill? In Arizona, since we were talking about heat, I wanted to mention this. So this was in the past, I guess. This is a story that's kind of telling us the history of some stuff, but I don't know if you can hear that. Some industrial machinery is going on a couple blocks away in the neighborhood, but the noise is reaching us. Stephanie Pullman died on a sweltering Arizona day after electricity was cut off because of a $51 debt. 5 years later, the 72-year-old story remains at the heart of efforts to prevent others in Arizona from having their power cut off, leaving them without life-saving air conditioning and temperatures higher than 110 degrees, which is 43 degrees Celsius. Stephanie Pullman was the face of the fight that helped put the disconnect rules in place for the big regulated utilities in Arizona. The Arizona Public Service, known as APS, disconnected Pullman's power in September at a time when outside temperatures were 107 degrees, or 41.6 C. Just days before, she'd paid $125 on her $176 bill, past due bill. She was then found inside her home, dead from heat exposure. So people were mad because this old lady died, and so, let's see. The story cut off and was. It's now just a bunch of ads. Let's see if we can bypass this. Like many older residents, Pullman was a native Midwesterner, living alone. Okay. Let's see if we can get there. In 2019, the Arizona Corporation Commission, which regulates the utilities, issued a moratorium on summertime shutoffs. And now they can't cut the power off if it's forecasted to be above 95 degrees or 35 Celsius or below 32 degrees, which is 0 Celsius. Or they can also choose to just say between June to October 15th. So that's what most people do. They just say, we're not cutting power off until October 15th. This is, of course, for just regulated power companies. Here in Texas, most power companies aren't regulated, so they just do whatever they whatever they want. And it's very funny because it's electricity and cooling, AC, access to electricity for heating and cooling. And whether or not you have access to an air conditioner at all is all... When people start dying, they're like, the state shouldn't allow people to die. But capitalism says, yes, you should, because they are not providing, they're not generating any revenue for these companies. So it's better that they die and someone else occupies their house and buys electricity. So anyway, it's kind of gross. But yeah. Self-sabotaging Texas. Yep. Sounds pretty good. It's story time on DGC today. That seems like it'll be fun. Either a critter. That's not a critter. I felt something was crawling up my pant leg there. But it is no longer alive, so it's okay. Whatever it was. All right. Let's keep it moving. Old lady dying because of power cutoff is not very interesting. Let's jump back into Africa news and world news. Nigeria, mass burial for 103 victims of the End SARS movement. 103 people who died in October 2020 during the End SARS movement against police violence in Nigeria and whose bodies at the Lagos morgue had not been claimed will be buried. This mass burial was confirmed by the authorities after the leak on social networks of a document from the Ministry of Health, which revived the painful question of the toll of repression of a rally in Lagos, which, according to the conclusions of a panel of inquiry, was akin to a massacre, while the authorities continue to affirm that there were no victims. So yeah, if you remember, the SARS was the police force. There were anti-police protests all over the world, and we got to see that in the United States and out in Nigeria, everywhere around the world, the police kill their citizens with impunity in most cases. So anyway, 103 bodies, they'll be buried soon. But it's been 2 years. They've just been hanging out in a morgue? That's got to be gross. Hopefully they're already cremated or something, and they're just going to bury the remains. Hundreds of people have been displaced after severe flooding in Canada. Hundreds have been displaced and 4 people are missing as floods devastate the province of Nova Scotia. Police have found a vehicle with two children were in before it was submerged, but found no sign of them. The others missing were also driving. The flooding was caused by the heaviest torrential rains to hit the Atlantic Canada region in 50 years. Officials say the several highways, local roads, and properties have been significantly damaged as a result. 25 bridges have been affected, with 6 of them completely destroyed. 500 to 600 people were displaced across the province because they cannot reach their homes, though many have been able to return home on Monday as evacuation orders were lifted. So, I'll let you know, as I know, if there's any more news or information about that, but that's what's going on there. And in Israel, this is big news for people who've been following the news in Israel. No, this isn't news about Palestine. This is other internal news, other internal politics going on there. Israeli MPs have passed into law a highly controversial bill that, despite mass protests, which aim to thwart it. The law removes the power of the Supreme Court to overrule government actions it considers unreasonable. It's the first to be approved in a series of bitterly contested reforms aimed at curbing the power of courts. The planned reforms have triggered some of the biggest protests in Israel's history, with opponents warning they imperil Israel as a democracy. The government argues, hey, that's an Alaskan Airlines jet descending right over our heads there, heading towards the airport at a good clip. Yeah. Okay, we must be on the descent path from the north. Interesting. Okay. Anyway, just a plane landing. The so-called reasonableness bill was approved by 64 votes to 0 after the opposition boycotted the final vote. In remarks to the parliament, opposition leader Yair Lapid called the step a takeover by an extreme minority over the Israeli majority. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu insisted the court would remain independent. He said the bill was necessary for the government to carry out policy in line with the decision of the majority of the citizens of the country. There are tens of thousands of protesters who marched 45 miles or 70 kilometers from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem at the end of last week, set up camp in a park between the Knesset, or the Capitol building, and the Supreme Court, which are almost next to each other. Prime Minister Netanyahu was in Parliament for the vote hours after being discharged from hospital following unscheduled surgery for a pacemaker. The controversial reforms have polarized Israel, triggering one of the most serious domestic crises in the country's history. So, we'll see what happens there. Maybe there's a civil war. Maybe Israel just ceases to be. Maybe Palestine gets a break. You never know. The U.S. government has given them millions and billions of dollars worth of weapons and munitions, though, so I'm sure there's no shortage of bombs to blow themselves up with. Russia, speaking of blowing stuff up, Russia has attacked grain stores. Russian drones have attacked Ukrainian ports on the River Danube, destroying grain storage infrastructure. The facilities are just across the river from NATO member Romania. The Danube is a key export route for Kyiv since Russia pulled out of a deal allowing Ukraine to ship wheat, corn, and other products via the Black Sea. A grain depot was also destroyed in the Black Sea port city of Odessa, which has come under almost nightly attack. Officials say more than 60,000 tons of grain have been destroyed in the past week. Global markets have seen the price of grain raise by 8% within a day of Russia's pullout from the grain deal. The collapse of the deal also means that Russia has resumed targeting of port locations in Ukraine, which had been suspended during the deal. There's also, let me see if I've got it here. India is not exporting rice right now. Let me see if I can get the story pulled up. So this is technically from Friday. India on Thursday ordered a halt to its largest rice export category, and a move that will roughly halve shipments by the world's largest exporter of the grain, triggering fears of further inflation on global food markets. The government said it was imposing a ban on non-basmati white rice after retail rice prices climbed 3% in a month after late but heavy monsoon rains caused significant damage to crops. India accounts for more than 40% of the world rice exports, and low inventories with other exporters mean any cut in shipments could inflate food prices already driven up by Russia's invasion of Ukraine and erratic weather. In order to ensure adequate availability of non-basmati white rice in the Indian market, the government of India has amended the export policy. It cited an 11.5% increase in retail prices over the last 12 months. So yeah, it is. People are going crazy. I know here in Austin and in Texas, all the Indian grocery stores, people are buying grocery carts full of rice. You know, 5 or 10 10-pound bags. Let's see. I don't know what's going on. I've missed a lot in comm. But let's see. Free bats. Kookaburra bats. Louisville Slugger bats. Anyway, I don't know what's going on in comm, but that's fine. We've got about 7 minutes to go, so let's talk about energy. Bow, 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 bow. Energy and technology. Let's go. Bow, 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 bow. All right, so the USA and Ghana have renewed their agreements. Let's get this page to load. Whew, it is hot out here. Oh, waiting, here we go. The U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission and Ghana's Nuclear Regulatory Authority have reaffirmed their cooperation on nuclear safety and regulation, part of a wider cooperation between the two countries as Ghana aims to create a nuclear power program. NRC Chairman Christopher Hansen and Ni Kwashi Alote, Director General of Ghana's Nuclear Regulatory Authority, discussed their significant collaboration since the 2017 signing of an inaugural bilateral agreement for cooperation and the exchange of technical information as Ghana develops a regulatory program and framework for its planned nuclear energy. Alote said, "We value the partnership that the NRA has forged over many years with the U.S. NRC. We greatly value the NRC's expertise as we seek to develop Ghana's own strong, independent regulatory oversight program." So that's pretty cool. It's exciting for Ghana to be getting on the energy field, energy front there. Africa in general, man, if they could get into nuclear, if they could get into nuclear and not have all the political uproar, I think it'd be great. The INL, which is the Idaho National Laboratory, is demonstrating what they call a microgrid in a box. The wind is picked up out of the opposite direction it usually comes from. Sorry about the wind noise. There we go. The self-contained system, developed by engineers at Idaho National Laboratory in collaboration with industry and government, enables multiple energy sources, including small nuclear reactors or modular reactors, to be integrated and optimized to ensure a reliable and resilient power supply in remote or off-grid locations, or during emergency situations or power outages. INL showcased the relocatable resiliency alternative power improvement distribution microgrid in a box, also known as a rapid MIB, at a rural hydropower plant at Fall River in Idaho, with a demonstration of how it can be used to restore the grid after a simulated electrical grid blackout in a process called a black start. A black start refers to the process of restarting and energizing power generation units, transmission lines, and distribution systems to restore electricity after a blackout or widespread disruption. "It's not as simple as flipping a switch," said Kurt Meyer, INL's Energy and Grid Systems Integration Group Lead. It requires a steady power input that many small utilities alone can't provide. This unit can work alongside existing capabilities to enable communities with limited resources to recover and continue to function during an emergency. So yeah, everything's, yeah, the 60 hertz or the 50 hertz or whatever, how many hertz AC power you're running on, it's a standard because all the power plants have to be spinning at the right speed to be able to provide the energy we need. So anyway, I thought that was pretty cool. Let's see. What else is there to talk about? Oh, here we go. In the UK, no sign of deal on UK to return to EU Horizon Science Program. What is going on here? Here it is. The UK's return to the EU's £85 billion Horizon Science Research Program appears to be hanging by a thread after London's request to quit the associated atomic research organization, EurAtom. The delays are causing huge anxiety in the scientific community. Many anticipated a deal to return to the program to be announced in early July, but negotiations are going to the wire with no sign of a final agreement yet on EurAtom or rebates the UK wants to compensate for its late association with the program. According to sources quoted by Research Professional News, a publication for academics, the European Commission has offered the UK the option of either exiting from EurAtom or a financial adjustment, but not both. So yeah, we'll see if they stick around. UK is not doing so hot in the science or technology front lately, so see what happens. And 3 minutes to go, here's one for you. Body cam footage shows Ohio police dog maul an unarmed black man surrendering during a traffic stop. Newly released disturbing body camera footage captured a police dog mauling an unarmed black man who had his hands up after a long chase in Ohio. Jadarius Rose, 23, was driving a semi-tractor trailer westbound on U.S. Route 35. He didn't respond to multiple calls by a motor carrier enforcement inspector and the Ohio State Highway Patrol to stop after authorities spotted his trailer was missing a left rear mud flap. That's pretty serious. Left rear mud flap. Oh, dear. That's a cause to kill somebody. The officials also deployed stop sticks twice before Mr. Rose stopped his trailer on U.S. Route 23, ending a lengthy pursuit. But a police dog was unleashed on the suspect shortly after he was given orders to exit the vehicle. Body cam footage showed the man with his hands in the air kneeling in front of the troopers. One of the troopers is heard giving repeated warnings, "Do not release the dog with his hands up." One Circleville police officer, ignoring the trooper's warning, is heard shouting, "Get on the ground or you're going to get bit," after which he sicks the dog on the man. Mr. Rose is heard screaming for help and asking the police to get the dog off him. The dog is seen biting and pulling the arm of the man, who is on his knees screaming in agony. Another officer is heard calling for a first aid kit. The footage also showed on the police officers covering his mouth with her hands and walking away. Officials said the 23-year-old was eventually taken into custody and given first aid. It's not immediately clear if the officer who unleashed the canine attacked the unarmed man has faced any disciplinary action so far. That's all the time we got today for news today. So please stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe and Harry Larry at 20 hours. And just press that equal sign or go to anonradio.net for the schedule. There's all sorts of cool stuff going on. All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow and enjoy the rest of your day. All right, bye-bye now. I don't think I can trigger the sound, so I'm just gonna. Dubious ghost time. It's dubious ghost time with Tobe. 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 Awesome. Funny time.